Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another Messiah's Advent devotional. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Good morning. I hope you're having a great day. I hope you're enjoying this snow if you're in Maryland and you're enjoying the snow that we've been having the last couple of days. Took my two younger kids sledding yesterday. They enjoyed that until they didn't anymore, and we're done. So that was fun. Things refroze a bit last night. So when I went out late to put out the trash cans, that was a nice little treacherous exercise. But snow is beautiful, and I love snow. But I'm getting a little bit older, and there's aspects of it that aren't very practical. But I'm excited because the long-range weather forecast, when I checked it yesterday, said we might get some snow on Christmas Day, like 1 to 3 inches, just enough to make things pretty, maybe. That would be nice. Well, we are in our 9th Messiah's Advent devotional together. We're going through the scripture and the music of Handel's Messiah, and we have come to rejoice greatly. Rejoice greatly, Zechariah 9. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the great joy of Christmas. This is the most wonderful time of the year because we remember the most wonderful gift ever given, your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you would bless us as we look at your word today. Help us to focus our hearts and minds on you, to reflect on you, and to rejoice in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So our passage for today is Zechariah 9, verses 9 and 10. And Handel doesn't use all of this in his musical selection for today, but we'll hear it later. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation. Lowly, and riding upon an ass, upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariots from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Great message of joy here from Zechariah chapter 9, probably a familiar passage to you. This is used on Palm Sunday of the triumphal entry, but Handel puts it at the end, really, of his section on the birth of Jesus to tell us that his coming into the world, right, is reason for us to rejoice greatly. And just as he rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday on the back of a donkey, so he also probably rode into Bethlehem on the back of a donkey in the womb of his mother Mary. So this is sort of the turning point. This passage is the turning point from the birth of Jesus. Glory to God in the highest, that we heard last time, and rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, into his life of ministry on earth. Now, Handel doesn't use all of this in his music. He basically has this: rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. So the music, as we'll hear, is a great contrast between joy, exuberant, excited joy, and then peace. Peace to the heathen. That's us, the Gentiles, the non-Jewish, non-Israelite people to whom Christ brings peace. The great joy of Christ coming into the world is seen in these verses in the fact that he comes as one who is righteous. He comes as the king, right? Sorry, he's the long-awaited rightful king. In our sermon series, we've been looking at the four throne names of Jesus from Isaiah 9:6, how he is wonderful counselor, mighty God, and this Sunday, everlasting Father, and then Christmas Eve, Prince of peace. Wonderful God, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So he's the king, the long-awaited king, the promised king, who is just. That means he's righteous. That means he has done everything to fulfill all righteousness for his people. He is the just one, the righteous one. We know that Romans 3 tells us that there is no one righteous, not even one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God except Jesus. Jesus is the one righteous, and he comes having salvation. His name means salvation. Jesus, Yeshua, means salvation in Hebrew. So he comes having salvation in his own person, in the fulfillment of righteousness, and then in the death that he will die for us, which we'll see as we look in a minute at the context of this. So we rejoice greatly because the long-awaited king has come, and he is just, and he is having salvation, and he shall speak peace. Fourth reason, he shall speak peace unto the nations, unto us. Remember, the original Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham was, I will bless you and greatly multiply you, and through your offspring shall all the nations on earth be blessed. And Jesus is the fulfillment of that Abrahamic covenant. See that world map back there? All the nations of the earth, including us here in America, including those in Africa and South America, and those in Asia and Europe and all over the world, Australia, New Zealand, from you know, the corners of Alaska to the corners of New Zealand, and even people living now down on Antarctica can know the joy because Jesus reigns over it all. He reigns over it all. So those are the five reasons we get from these two verses, is he's the long-awaited coming king. He is just. He has salvation, right? He brings peace, and his reign is universal over all things. If we look at the context a little bit, we don't have much time to do this, but if we look at the context a little bit, we'll see that this whole passage really is a wonderful passage. And I would just commend to you later this morning or this afternoon or this evening, just open up to Zechariah 9 and start at verse 9 and read to the end of the chapter. It's a beautiful passage that tells us so much about Jesus. Here it is in the ESV. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariots from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. This right here is a promise of the new covenant, which Jesus said is in his blood, because of the blood of my covenant with you. I think this is a promise of the new covenant in Jesus' blood. I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit means that death no longer is the end. We no longer go to the grave. The prisoners in the waterless pit are the dead in the grave. And so we no longer go to the grave and stay there as hopeless prisoners, but we are set free, okay? To return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. And so this is reminds me of Isaiah 40, which is really where we began this whole series of comfort, comfort my people, says your God, to speak tenderly unto Jerusalem and tell her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. So God restores us double. One way to look at this is he not only takes away our sin, but he gives us the righteousness of Christ. Another way to look at it is he not only defeats sin, but also death. He not only atones for our sin and cleanses us of our iniquity, but he also resurrects us from the dead and redeems us from death and from the grave. So again, we don't have time to look at a lot of this, but I just want you to be encouraged to read through this later. Then the Lord will appear over them. His arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God will sound the trumpet, will march forth in the whirlwinds of the south. The Lord of hosts will protect them, and they shall devour and tread down the sling stones, and they shall drink and roar as if drunk with wine, and be full like a bowl, drenched like the corners of the altar. This reminds me of the day of Pentecost. Remember how joyful and how exuberant were the disciples when they were filled with the Spirit. And what did all the people who came around them thought they were drunk, right? People who came said, why are these guys drunk? And they said, no, they're not drunk. It's the Holy Spirit, right? We're drinking from the living water of the Holy Spirit, and it fills our hearts with joy. On that day, the Lord their God will save them as the flock of his people. For like the jewels of a crown, they shall shine on his land. For how great is his goodness and how great his beauty. Grain shall make the young men flourish and new wine the young women. Amen. That is just a beautiful passage of the salvation of God. I believe it gives us even more reason to rejoice. So we rejoice because we're told to rejoice, but then we keep reading and we get all these great and wonderful reasons why we are to rejoice. Well, let's go ahead and rejoice musically. And then we will close in prayer. This is Rejoice Greatly, and it's from the same concert that we looked at the clip from on Wednesday. A different soprano soloist, Penelope Apple something. You'll see her name when it comes up, but she's a wonderful soprano soloist. What Handel does here, there's something unusual that he does in this piece of music, and that is he writes in what's called polyphonic overtones. And polyphonic means that you sing so quickly and you sing with vibrato so that you actually produce more than one note that are sounding at the same time. And it's the effect is kind of how you're trembling with joy. You know how you're so excited and you're so just can't wait like a little kid on Christmas morning and you're just trembling. There's this trembling effect that happens when you're doing this polyphonic singing. It's different. It sounds unusual. I think Penelope does a fantastic job with it in this concert version. But there are some that are a little bit almost hard to listen to because it's not something we're used to hearing. And then the contrast in this piece between the Rejoice Greatly, which is this vibrating, exuberant, polyphonic joy, and then the He Will Speak Peace, and how it comes down and becomes quieter because He will speak peace. All right, let's enjoy this and then we'll close in prayer together.
Behold, I come to thee.
Amen. We have every reason to rejoice and to rejoice greatly because the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, has come to us. And that's really what the message of Christmas is all about. And Zechariah 9 helps us to see the whole reason for this. He comes as the long-awaited king to rule over his people. He comes as the righteous one who has salvation. He comes to speak peace to us as our Prince of Peace. He comes to establish his universal reign over all the nations. He comes to redeem us from death itself by the blood of his covenant. He comes to restore us doubly for all that sin has cost us. This is a great salvation, and we have every reason to rejoice. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the joy of your salvation, for the joy of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to rejoice in him today and always, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I hope that you can join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We'll be worshiping again at the Deer Creek Overlook out at the 4-H camp in the Rock State Park area. Looking at Everlasting Father. How is Jesus, God the Son of God, our Everlasting Father? That's our message for Sunday. We are planning on having a Christmas Eve service at 6:30, live, online only. We're not going to gather together for a variety of reasons. Some are COVID-related, some are not necessarily COVID-related, but we're going to do an online-only worship service on Christmas Eve at 6:30. And it'll be a lot of carols, a lot of singing, a lot of music, a message on Jesus as the Prince of Peace. Next week for these Messiah's Advent devotionals, I'm thinking about doing one Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. That would give us 12 in the whole set. That seems to be an appropriate Christmas number. And we're going to end with a Hallelujah Chorus, I know, on Wednesday. I'm not sure yet what I'm going to do for Monday and Tuesday. I'm thinking He Shall Feed His Flock. And then I'm thinking about the suffering from Isaiah 53 on Tuesday, but we'll see. That'll be coming up next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday morning at 8:30 for Messiah's Advent devotionals, and then Thursday evening at 6:30 for the Christmas Eve service. But hopefully I'll see you this Sunday at 10. If not, look forward to seeing you back here on Monday morning. Have a blessed day in the Lord.